Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. He's so worthy. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Yes. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Yeah. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. Now you will take my place. Now you will bear my cross. You will lay down your life in blood. So I will be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done.
If you would, let's lift our hands to the Lord and just welcome the Holy Spirit here tonight. Lord, we're so grateful for your presence. God, anything that's going to be accomplished here tonight will be accomplished by your presence here, strengthening us, enlightening us, helping us. God, I pray that anything that's broken is healed. I pray that anything that's off track gets back on track. Anything that needs to be built up and strengthened will be strengthened. So we thank you tonight that those homes that are struggling are going to go out victorious. And those homes that are victorious are going out to another level. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. Amen. Turn around, shake hands with about four people and say, I'm so glad that you're sitting with me tonight. If you would, please. Make sure they feel welcome. Then you can be seated. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us on a very special night. While they're getting seated, let me welcome those of you that are watching online, our digital connections. Thank you for joining us. Help us by putting down where you're watching from, and then let us then help us by sharing this with all of those folks that you're friends with, or at least like your profile pic and hit like when they befriended you. All right. If you're visiting tonight, I see a few folks that I don't know. You'll see in front of you a connection card that looks like this gray piece of paper. And if you'd fill that out when the offering bucket goes by, you can put that in there. And that will help us help you get connected to the church. And then if you've been coming, but you have not yet been connected as far as getting into a ministry of involved or of serving, then that next steps card is for you. That's a totally different looking card. You know, there are people that have been coming here for months, and because you're not new anymore, you're kind of wondering, how can I get involved? That's how you do it. Fill that card out. Come on, church, help me welcome all of our guests tonight. Let them know we're glad to see them in God's house. In northern Maine, there is a church that is being led by what I feel are legendary pastors as far as Maine pastors, and that's the Old Fashioned Revival Center in Blaine, Maine. And Pastor Mark and Mary Carter are here tonight, and I'm so glad, because I've been wondering how your marriage was going to make it. How long have you been married? 50 years next month. So wow, 50 years. So I don't know. I mean, I believe they'll see 50 because they came this night right here. I mean, no pressure to the panel, but we better get it right. And would you, I want these people to stand. I'm sorry, maybe you didn't, but stand one more time if you would. I want you to just honor some of God's choice leaders right there, and Mark and Mary Carter. We love you. Thank you. I forgot why I'm up here. Oh, we've got a game, right? Come on up, Mariah and Rocky. Let me just share a couple announcements with you. This coming Tuesday is the seniors' luncheon at 11 o'clock. I don't. What are they having for lunch, Bunny? It's undecidedly good. It's the undecidedly good meal that you're going to experience. And then you get to decide after you find out what it is. But we want you to come. And then Friday night, Kelly is Friday night, the Kids on the Move family night, and they're having tacos. So we already know that's going to be good. Wasn't yesterday Cinco de Mayo? You can tell that's got a huge influence on us here in Charleston. But Friday night, family night, and everybody is welcome to come. The parents, bring your kids, and it's just a great, great time for everybody to get together. Aren't you tired of all the events that are pulling the family apart? These are events that put the family together. And we feel like as a church, and we've been doing more and more about this, is if we're going to affect the next generation, we've got to support the parents that are raising the next generation. And so what these events are for is that, and they go over so well, and I know that you'll have a fantastic time with that. Next Sunday is Mother's Day, so you either are one or you have one, so make sure that you get here on Mother's Day. It's going to be a wonderful time. They've got some real special things put together. Mariah and Rocky are going to lead us in a game. Mariah graduated from Husson University yesterday. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, that's what the guy who owns your loan for the college education is saying right now. But they're finally going to get some of it back. But come on over, guys. Mariah graduated with a sum cum laude, not a sumo. She doesn't have a degree in sumo. It's sum cum, yeah, wicked smart is what that means. And we're so proud of her. Welcome, Rocky and Mariah, as we play a little game here tonight.
All right. Who wants to play a game? Let's all stand up. Let's all stand up. Everybody stand up. All right. Yeah, smile a little bit. It's a good night, okay? It's going to be better later. All right, so if you want to play a game, I want to see you guys do something funny. All right, so who wants to play? I want to see some Eddie Van Halen headbangs, okay? I want to see some, Mariah, your favorite, what's the roof raising thing? That roof raising thing you're doing. Yeah, okay. Do that, or you can shout, and I'm going to count to three, and that's when you guys are going to do it, all right? And I'm going to be watching to see who wants to play the game, right? All right.
And you want to play because there's prizes.
There's prizes. What is the prize of the winning?
We'll get to it.
Okay. All right. So one, two, three.
That's pathetic. More headbanging.
More headbanging. Come on, Malcolm. I want to see your hair come off. Hey. All right. Anyways, joke's on you. We actually have the contestants already pre-selected. I just wanted to see if I could see you guys do something.
We wanted to see what you looked like, foolish. All right, let's welcome our contestants. Contestants number one, Tyler and Heather. Give them a round of applause. And our second round of contestants are Dan and Amy B.
Come on, Tyler. Help the lady. Come on, Dan.
And our last set of contestants are Ken and Amber Mitchell. All right, earlier today, Kelly took all of you out individually and asked you questions about yourself and your spouse.
That's right. So we're going to read some questions, and we're going to tell which one to answer, but whoever I'm asking the question to is always the one that answers first. So I'm handling the guys. So Tyler, when I ask you a question, you flip first, and then your wife, all right? So, more prizes.
Yes, if both the husband and the wife answer the questions correctly, they will get a point. The team with the most points will win! Woo! Let's try it again. Ready? They will win! Woo! You're really, really, really bad. Like, really bad. We'll get there. All right, are you ready for the first round? Oh, the prize. The couple who wins will get a gift card to, ready? Texas Roadhouse!
Roadhouse! Whoa! But even the losers win, they get chocolate.
Yeah, you can get a chocolate
bar. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. No crying.
But it's Lindor, so.
That's right. All right, let's get to it. Okay. Ken, this one's for you. Okay. When it comes to shoes, would your wife prefer heels, flats, sandals, sneakers, or Crocs? Heels, okay, heels.
All right, and Amber, go ahead and you'll hold your card up.
Ken, you're awful. This is a bad start already. All right, get going. Dan, all right, you ready? Okay, if your wife could choose one thing of yours to get rid of, what would she choose? One thing to get rid of. There's probably many, but one thing in particular. My jean shorts. Are they cutoffs? No? All right. Nothing? Oh, my word. Oh, that's hilarious. Wow. Okay, Tyler, I think I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it. Who really wears the pants in the relationship? Okay, all right. I didn't see that one coming. Anyway, all right. Wow. That's a point.
One point for Heather and Tyler. All right, here we go. Round two, ladies. The first question is for Amber. Where did you have your first kiss? Show us your answer. In the car. And Ken? In the car. Woo!
Oh, another point. Okay, Ken and Amber got a point.
All right, first question for Amy. Which of the following candies best describes your first kiss? Starburst, Good and Plenty, Hot Tamales, Milk Duds, or Zero? Hot tamales. Dan, reveal your answer.
Oh! Yeah, all right.
you go on before your first kiss? Three. Maybe. Four. Oh,
that's close. That's close.
So close.
That's good, that's good.
All right, can we review the scores?
Yes, you can. It's a tie between all three. 1-1-1.
All right. Ooh, ah.
All right, now back to the men. Ken, who is more romantic? Okay, okay. Ooh, ding, ding, ding. Point, point. Okay, Dan. Who has the better looking family? You do have a twin brother, so that helps for you. Oh, that's great. Oh. Alright. Alright, Tyler. Where did you and your wife go on your first date? Who knows? Ooh, here we go. Alright, alright.
Alright, it's time for the fourth and final round. Amber, you're up first. If your husband was in charge of cooking dinner for one evening, which dish would he prepare? Cheeseburgers.
That's my favorite. That's my favorite.
Ken, your answer?
Steak. Oh. I'll give you an eighth of a point.
All right, Amy. Which character is your husband most like? Daffy Duck, Batman, or Charlie Brown? Batman. All right, Heather. If your husband would be compared to cereal, what would it be? Fruit Loops, Lucky Charms, Special K, Cheerios, or Cocoa Puffs? Special K!
Yeah, Tyler. Oh, that's awesome. Oh.
All right, how do the points look?
We do have a winner. Tyler and Heather.
Woo!
3-2-1.
All right, Tyler and Heather, we have a gift card for you to Texas Roadhouse. Oh, sorry. And for our other winners, I don't know who picked this, but you get chocolate bars. Let's give it up for all of our contestants.
Don't we have a giveaway too, Mara? Do we have a giveaway? Cool.
All right, you all should have got a ticket when you came through the door tonight. If you got a ticket, go ahead and take it out of your pocket and stand to your feet.
That's a winner. Okay.
All right, we're going to do this Kids on the Move style. So here's what's going to happen. We are going to draw a number. As we call out each individual number, if it's not your ticket anymore, you take a seat. If it is your ticket, you scream and shout because you're excited. Are you ready?
I'm going to pick. I want to pick.
Are you ready? Oh, the prize is a hotel getaway in Freeport, Maine at...
No, so it looks like Harassment Inn, but it's...
Harassment
Inn.
It's exciting. Really exciting.
Oh, I'll pick it. Put it up high. I can't see. Okay. 9.
Woo!
2. Woo! 4.
Woo!
3.
Woo!
3. That was weak. And 0. We have a winner.
We have a winner.
Winner.
Let's let's give it up for Rob and Kelly. Come on up and get your prize. All right, thank you all for joining us for some games tonight.
Woo!
Wow. Hey, Rob, enjoy your weekend at the Harassment Inn. That's what you call staying home for the weekend. Want the ushers to come, and we're going to worship the Lord in our giving tonight. The Harassment Inn. The Harassment Inn. That's awesome. We're going to worship the Lord in our giving tonight. Yeah, come on up, Brad. And we're going to give unto the Lord. We're so grateful for your being here. I was telling a couple tonight that there's something safe about being in a bigger room with a crowd of people where you can begin to hear things that you need for your marriage and for your future marriage and your relationship and your home, and that's what we have the opportunity to do here. We only do this a few times a year, and so I hope that tonight you really walk out with something. Brad's going to sing, and then we're going to have a little panel up here, and we're just going to have an opportunity to really discuss some issues. How many want your marriage to go the distance? You want it to go all the way, the distance. And there are people that are doing it, but they make decisions along the way. And we're going to take care and address some situations that will help ensure that your marriage does go the distance. All right, so God bless you as you prepare to give tonight. If you're watching online, we've got a way for you to give there as well. And so if you follow those instructions, that'll be fantastic. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blessing on our homes. Thank you for your blessing on our children and our relationships. And God, I if everything else is going right, but things at home are under a lot of pressure and they're fractured, then God, nothing else is really that valuable or meaningful. But God, if everything's right at home, God, everything else will take care of itself. And so God, tonight, we want you to be involved. So I pray not only for the offering, but I pray that tonight your spirit would be here to minister to us here and online. We give an offering to you. We want you to know that you're first. It's a tangible way to say that you're a priority in our homes. We believe we demand a blessing on our homes when we put you first in every area, including our finances. So we give this with faith and with joy tonight in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. God bless you as you give tonight.
Is good at tearing down and breaking up and wearing out. This world's good at tearing down, breaking up and wearing out. We've all learned nothing lasts for long. Well, you don't have to look too far to see how life can fall apart. But in those moments, we're just holding on. Yeah, the good Lord's good at putting things back together. He's got a way of taking things like broken hearts and broken wings. All the dreams you thought were gone forever, and putting things back together. There ain't nothing he can't fix, 'cause he knows where the pieces fit. Even when it don't make sense to us, if we just take our best day plans that fell apart, place them in his hands, we'd find out just how much he loves putting things back together. He's got a way of taking things like broken hearts and broken wings. All the dreams you thought were gone forever, and putting things back together. He's always willing, he's always able, and he's always faithful. Yeah, I come from a broken home, Sometimes I felt so all alone. It took a while, but I finally learned. Yeah, God is good. Oh, he's so good at putting things back together. Putting things back together. Putting things back together. Putting things back together. Putting things back together.
Good job, Brad. Good job. Wonderful. Wonderful. I want Greg and Denise and Wayne and Deborah and Amy and Dan to join us on the platform, if you would. What's that? Yeah, somebody will be helping us with that, I assume. Ethan's got it. Thank you, bud. Would you welcome our, this isn't a game. These are real life people. Would you welcome Dan and Amy, Wayne and Deborah? The couch is yours. The couch is yours. Thank you guys for doing this. Thank you so much. They're right over there. Right over there. Great. Thank you. Let me introduce these folks to you. If you don't know them, because I assume that you don't, if you're the first time here, this is Wayne. You can sit, honey. You're doing good. Yeah, you don't want to sit down fast on these chairs. You got that experience. If you could just cut this monitor back a little bit. I'm pretty hot up here. Thank you so much. Down on the end is Wayne and Deborah Meserve, hailing from the city of Charleston, Maine. How many years have you been married? You've got that mic right there. Go ahead.
It'll be 41 years in June 18th at 2 o'clock.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Dan and Amy, how many years have you guys been married?
19
years. You were real young when you
August
got married.
August 28th.
August 28th. You were processing that. Good job. Way to come back at the last minute. And everybody knows Greg and Denise. How long have you guys been married now?
24 years.
24 years. Wow. And how many years have we been married? 25 years. July the 11th, 1992. I have no idea what time it was. The whole day was a bit of a blur. But so Wayne and Debbie have raised a couple of wonderful girls with wonderful families. And have been a part of this church forever. I thought that was fantastic that Dave talked about your dad being his pastor. I didn't know that. That was fantastic this morning. If you weren't here this morning, David received his basic foundation certificate, and his daughter came to church, and his daughter's fiance came to the Lord this morning. So that's fantastic. It was a great morning. Really, it was powerful. Dan and Amy, how many years have you guys been coming here now? Maybe 45 or 50 or... This is our fifth year, and have two boys, and then Greg and Denise, we know them, and just a tremendous resource and a blessing to this church. And so we discussed the topic of having a marriage that lasts, and we want to make sure, I want to tell you, people don't have a lasting marriage by mistake, and really good people's marriages get terribly destroyed because they don't invest in the marriage anymore. I don't personally like the word working on your marriage. If it was work, I'd have never gotten married. Who wants to sign up for work the rest of your life? But I do believe in investing. I want to invest in my marriage, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And so Darcy came up with 4 or 5 questions, and then Greg and Denise just backed them up with a lot of little questions, well, 4 or 5 topics, and they sent us a lot of these questions below, and so we're going to cover some of them tonight. So you all have a mic. Sometimes I'll ask you directly. Sometimes it's just going to be whoever's to the mic first. And we want to cover as many topics as possible. So we'll keep our comments to a couple minutes and try to hit. The first one that we're going to talk about is in my book. It's money. Ooh. How many have ever had disagreement over money? How many are about to have a disagreement over money? All right.
Well, first, I want to say congratulations to Micah and Jana. I haven't seen your baby yet, but we're excited for you. So sorry, squirrel. Okay, back at it, Darcy. We would just really want marriages to be blessed, and we believe that they can be blessed. So we just have a few questions, and I believe, we all want to leave healthier, right? So I just believe we're going to be able to do that tonight. So we're going to hit it good with money issues. So Dan, I can't see you, but I know you're there. So yeah, it's okay. As married couples, we'll start maybe with Wayne and Deborah. How do you determine who handles the money? Really? Not just, you know.
Well, it was easy to start with because we didn't have any.
Yes, we're very aware of that, too. Yeah.
But we determined real early in life that she was the responsible one, and I was the irresponsible one. So she's taking care of the everyday books and the checkbook and the paying the bills, and I made nothing and donated it to her. Actually, to put it in perspective, we started out, I joined the Air Force, and I was just a slick sleeve with making $600 a month, and that's like nothing, you know, and they expected me to put in for welfare because it was such a low pay. So it was up us against the world, and we didn't fight over it because there was nothing to fight over, you know, so it was good.
Mm-hmm. Dan and Amy? Oh, do you want me to, a different question? Okay, the same one. Would you want me to repeat it again? Who determines who handles the money?
I take care of the money.
Go ahead.
No, Daniel owns his own business. So he works very hard. He gets up very early in the morning. He makes phone calls when he gets home at night. So it's my responsibility. He does hard work. Although doing the budget is hard. But I take care of that.
Greg and Denise.
Nothing like going for the jugular right out of the box. When Denise and I first got married, because my wife had a financing background and mortgage business and great with numbers, and she was the saver and I was the spender, it just made sense that my wife would take care of the books and take care of the bills. And that's all great if, as the leader of my home, I oversaw that. But rather, I stuck my head in the sand and pretended it didn't exist until years later when the collection agency started calling. And that was probably the lowest point in my life. And I remember calling my wife, and I'm sure she remembers it well, and I was just freaked out because I had never been called by a collection agency before. And I said, "What's going on?" Like, I was angry at her. And I said, "I have this pit in my stomach and I feel so sick." And she said, "Now you know how I feel." Because I put a responsibility on her that she was never intended to carry. And wow, you want to talk about humble pie, tough times, facing your failures. They tracked me down through my Bible college. Sister Wells was the one that actually called me and said, "You've got to call these people," because, I mean, that's how bad it was. And by the grace of God and just a lot of love and support, we got through a very, very, very difficult time. And so it's nothing to take lightly. Heads in the sand do not fix anything. And my wife was really good at paying the bills. And when you have $2,000 in the checking account and you have $1,500 worth of paying bills, that's a lot of fun. But when you have $500 in the checking account and $2,000 worth of bills to pay, now you have to start making some hard decisions. And that's when it got really, really rough. But glory to God, we got through that. You want to share something with that?
I basically put everything in a box and came downstairs and handed him the box and said, I quit. This is all on you now, because I couldn't do it anymore. And it wasn't that I was hiding things from him. He always knew what was going on. But after his pretty intense medical thing that happened, and just watching our finances spiral down, you know, way down, it just became a place that I couldn't bear anymore. And I literally had to just give it all to him and really let him be the leader he was always meant to be in that area. And once he took it over, I don't know, I just think when you put things in order, it opens a door for God to bless, to actually bless, because he's a God of order, and he glories in that when we do things correctly. So it was a good thing.
Just one thing I want to add. If you're hearing this, you're without excuse, because I had a man of God tell me during a counseling session, you need to take headship over your finances. And I ignored the word of the Lord, and it got really bad very quickly after that. So, shots fired.
Yeah. And I just want to end the question by saying this. There's nothing wrong with the wife paying the bills, and if that's what you decide as a family is the right thing for you, especially if we're good at it and we have more time to do it and that kind of thing. The key is that you both know what's going on at all times. The wife should never have to call her husband and say, don't use the debit card today, we don't have enough money in the account. Like, you should always know exactly what is going on, both of you, and especially the larger decisions should always be made together. You know, and come up with a plan for spending money. You know, if you spend more than $30 on something that's not in the budget, call each other first. You just make sure you're both on the same page.
Okay. Well, he takes care of our finances. Thank you, Jesus. How do you handle financial conflict? How do you handle when one of you wants maybe to buy something and the other is against it? How do you handle the conflict? Go ahead.
We don't have a lot of conflict. I mean, we discuss things as equals, because I think we approach things as, instead of I want this, we always try to approach things like, well, what should we do? Because this money that we have is not my money, and it's not Deborah's money, but it's our money. You know, the Bible says that two will become one flesh. But basically it means that you're just going to act as one unit. And so if you take the selfishness out of that whole thing, why would you treat your wife any different than you would treat your best friend? So, although I gotta say, my wife is the person that can stretch a dollar 6 feet. You know, she's really good at it. The people up at Shaw's just love to see her with a stack of these coupons and stuff. but when it comes time to buy those things that are wants, generally, we talk about it, and we'll come to an agreement on it. And if we don't have an agreement on it, then we just don't do it. You know, it's one of those things. There are times when, it's kind of jokingly, but pretty serious, I guess. And a joke kind of relates things. But I said the key to a happy marriage is I direct deposit my check into her account. And it works. but it actually, it's not mine and it's not hers, but it's ours. And we've always faced the world in that way, that it's us against the world. And we just don't have disunity when we talk about things. Now, I mean, there's some things that Deborah says that I really don't need, like that new rifle. But sometimes she'll buy it for me for my birthday because, you know, that's the greatest thing in the world. So...
Yes.
Yeah, I'm very thankful that way, from, as Wayne mentioned, from day one of marriage, was you're together and sharing together. That's one thing I'm very fortunate with Amy, is our money is our money together. It's not mine, it's not hers, and we are pretty good at discussing things of need and the wants, but very, very thankful for that from day one, that we're in it together and sharing that responsibility together.
That's good.
I think now, you know, after being married for many, many years, you just kind of know, you know, what's important and what's not. And I think it's wonderful to hear you don't have a lot of conflict, but we can tell you, because of the couples we work with, it's a huge conflict for many couples. One of the bigger issues we see is when the man of the house is the spender and the woman is the saver. It really becomes even more of a conflict because he feels disrespected if she doesn't agree with him, and it just causes a lot of trouble. So I think the biggest thing is don't make a move unless you both agree, even if it takes months to get to that place, because ultimately God's going to bless that. God's going to bless that you're patient and you're waiting until you both feel financially ready to make a purchase, especially if it's a larger purchase. So just be on the same page. I think every category is going to fall into, make sure you're on the same page, whether it's starting a family, whether it's buying a house, whether it's, it has to be something you both feel a peace about and feel like you're in the right place.
In our marriage, I'm the spender. And so I was driving home one night, and I saw a sports car for sale in Corinth. And I went home, and I was ready. I had this great argument why I must have this sports car. And I said to my wife, I said, "Listen, and this is my whole deal." And she says, "Well, you should get it." And I'm like, "No. You're doing some kind of Jedi thing on me here, and I see what's going on," and I immediately thought it was a terrible idea. It was terrible. It's not good to be married to somebody smarter than you. And if you're a man, you have married somebody smarter than you. So it's been really good for us. My wife, wow, she's tight. Unbelievable. Ridiculous, really. But let me ask you, Greg and Denise, and then we'll move on to something. Look, we're not here to tell everybody what to do, but in your opinion, and you've dealt with a lot of married couples, and there is, we're making light of something that is probably the reason for marital breakdowns. What do you think about two different accounts? Good, bad, and why?
I don't believe in two separate accounts. I believe in accounts for different purposes, designating accounts that you're not going to touch, like, you know, having money taken out of your general account for taxes, things that you know you don't want to get to the end of the year and say, "Well, we spent that money." So having like select savings accounts where money is just being set aside for a specific purpose, whether it's a Christmas club or a trip, your family trip you're planning, so that money just is designated and you know you're not going to touch it. But other than that, I do believe what you guys said. It's our money, and I think there may be seasons. If there are bigger things going on, like addiction or gambling issues, where separate accounts are necessary. But I think in general, if there's nothing major going on, it should be a joint account at all times. And I don't think that should happen until you're married, by the way.
Thanks. A couple of times we've heard people say, you know, it's our money. I believe it's God's money. And if God put us together and has made us one, as soon as you separate two accounts, now you've created an opportunity for the enemy to put a wedge in there and then begin to say, "Well, I'm going to do this and this is for me," and you have to worry about your account. And instead of drawing closer together, you actually begin to separate over that area that can be a huge place of contention.
That's really good. Yeah, all right.
Just
go ahead, Wayne. Yeah, please, go ahead.
We always put Deborah in charge of the day-to-day paying the bills and, you know, how much we have. And occasionally, like once every month or so, I'll say, "We have anything in the checking account?" And she'll tell me how much. And that's good enough. But that's her account, right? because she's in charge of it, right? But I was in charge of the long-term savings and investing, and so I studied up on that, and I got good at that. And so we jokingly say, well, that's your account that I haven't touched in 30 years. But I spent the time, I invested my time, learned how to invest that, learned how I could retire without taking out of the principle of that, you know. And so I did the studying on that. And so we're thinking about retiring here right off. And Deborah says, well, you know, we're going to have to start using your account here right off. And I went, because, you know, I'm the saver, right? I'm, you know, because for the past, probably the last 10 years of my employment, I saved 25% of my income into the 401k. And so saving is really, really important. Amen. You know, you should have enough money so that if anything happens, and this is my goal, is if anything happens, I'm not going to lose my house. We're going to have a place to live, you know, so I can dump everything we have and, you know, sell my cars and my toys and all that stuff as long as we have the house, you know. So that was a goal of mine. So that's our idea of separate accounts.
That's good. Let's move on to the next topic, in-laws. I want to go two angles. One, Deborah and Wayne, you are them. You are in-laws. Dan and Amy, you have in-laws. Bazelli's have in-laws. My wife informed me tonight, I am a father-in-law. I had no idea.
I was like, well, there's only, you know, we're in-laws. And he was like, I'm a father-in-law, which has been almost 3 years, honey. Sorry, it's his question.
That doesn't seem possible, but I guess it's true. I don't know. I just thought old people were in-laws. All right. No way. I looked in the mirror today. Stick with the question? Okay, I'm going to do my best. In the audience, there are in-laws. Wayne and Deborah, you've got as far as I can tell, at least from the outside, you have a great relationship with both of the families. We all know Matt is your son-in-law, so that earned you a right on the platform, I can tell you that. Matt Parker, that is. Talk to us a little bit about that, Deborah. What's that like? As advice for in-laws, what would you say to them? How have you kept that fun and close?
I think basically we treat Matt like he's our son. We love him, but we don't interfere in their marriage and their life. We let them live their life, but we're there for them if they want it. I think that's it, to love them and be there when they need you, but don't interfere.
Have you ever had to say no to them, like they want you to get involved, either of the girls, and you said, no, that's not, or have they always known not to ask?
I don't think so. I don't think we've ever had any problem as far as that goes. But they do know that we're there. But we don't push that door. We don't go where we're not wanted. But we love them, and they know it.
That's awesome.
And we're friends.
What's that?
And we're friends. You know, we've gone from that parent relationship to a friend relationship, which is extremely hard for a lot of people to do. And I see that amazingly with my wife and the kids and, you know, and the grandkids, because, I mean, we're the favorite grandparents. And we strive for that.
Yeah.
But being a friend as opposed to being the parent who's always looking for that, well, I need respect here, you know, as opposed to, well, you know, the love is more important than, you know. So it's a hard transition for, you know, because they're adults, man. They're 40 years old. I shouldn't treat them like they're five. Yeah. So, and that's I think we did a pretty good job. You know, Deborah did a good job raising them, is what I'm saying.
We know that. Now, Dan, I'm just teasing. Dan and Amy, we both know that you feel like your families are the better looking one. it's a pretty bad place to say ask. I mean, talk to us about your in-law relationships. I mean, give us the nitty-gritty. I mean, the stuff that people will never forget they heard. I'm just teasing. I know you get along with them great. There's some right on the front row, so.
Yes, well, Amy's mom's here, so I'll let Amy talk to her mom about that. No, the good part of
like,
it was,
we know both of your families. They're great people, so talk about your relationship.
Well, what I enjoy with it, too, is with Ruth and being here in the church and my mom and dad being church members as well. They're at another church, but for my sons growing up, knowing that the grandparents on both sides are believers in the Lord and being involved with the church. So that's a blessing in itself there. And we get great support from both sides, whether it's with the kids or with us. It's, I don't know, overwhelming sometimes, the support from both sides, my side and her side. Squirrel. But again, when I mentioned about the boys, just the respect that they have towards my parents and Amy. I mean, for a father, that's the best thing I want for them, is to get along with all the family and having the ties with the church. I couldn't ask for anything more than that.
Yeah, he's pretty lucky. No, just same as what Daniel said. You know, I strive to be a good daughter-in-law. And so I think an open relationship, just talking to my in-laws, like you said, everybody stays in their own corners and support when we need it, and that's it. We're just lucky.
That's awesome. Let me ask you, Greg and Denise, a couple questions. One, maybe you could say to somebody who's watching or here tonight the importance, if they're thinking about being married, the importance of that in-law relationship. Because I know you do a lot of premarital counseling and prep for that. Secondly, what would you say to a couple that one of the in-laws or both are not serving God? That is your statement on that just kind of made me think that could be tough. So maybe you talk about the premarital stuff first and then the unsaved in-laws. How do you handle them?
I can't help but remember our wedding day, and I was in my mom's bathroom taking off my wedding gown and getting changed so we could leave for our honeymoon, and hearing my husband through the door in the next room, sitting down, my mom and my grandma who raised me together, and saying to them, "Now I just want to thank you. You've raised a beautiful young woman, and you did a fabulous job." And then he kind of paused, and he said, "But she's mine now." And he said, "Oh, it's very true." And I just was like, "Oh my gosh, what is he doing out there?" I'm trying to get dressed quickly so I could go out there and, you know, be a part of it. But, and he said, "You know, I love you guys and I appreciate you." He said, "But we'll reach out if we need you." And it was really important that he do that, especially in my family, because, you know, we're kind of the proverbial Italian in everybody's business family. Like, it would have been probably, he set the standard, like, this is how it's going to be. And it was really great. But it was also really important as we moved forward in our marriage, because the first 6 months were not a happy time for me. That's for another better together. They were not a happy time for me. And one of the things I think I did right was I didn't call my mom and say, "I'm not happy." I didn't share with her all the things that were wrong. That is so important, because as a mom, as parents in general, we're very protective of our children. And even after they're way past all the trouble and they're in love again and everything's good, we pick up offenses as parents, and it's hard for us to forget when our children have been hurt. So just understanding, yes, the relationship is very important. It's important to nurture. We're going to stand before God one day and give an account to what kind of a daughter-in-law or son-in-law we were to our in-laws. But also to remember that your business is your business, and not to just like let everything, all the information pour out, the good, bad, the ugly. I mean, you know, just keep some of it private, keep most of it private, I would think. I think that's a big part of that relationship, is just not airing your spouse's faults to your parents, and your spouse should not air your faults to his parents. That should be something we cover each other and not expose each other where our parents are concerned.
Good stuff. When we work with couples and there's a dynamic where one of the families or both the families are not saved, we really emphasize this really important word, and that's boundaries. And boundaries are our best friend. If you have a small toddler and you have a swimming pool, there's a reason why you put a fence around the pool. And I remember just being very real, coming home early in our marriage, and my wife was on the phone crying hysterical. And I'm like trying to figure out who she's talking to, and to find out it was her father. And I was like, that's it. It's over. Like, you are not talking to him anymore, because this is ruining you. It's ruining our relationship. And I had to put my foot down. And through a lot of prayer and through many years, her dad came around, and we restored that relationship. But at that moment, I had to make a really hard decision. And if we just let nature take its course, so often there's the taking of the sides. And when young people that we work with are living with these dreams of grandeur that they're never going to fight or they're never going to have any conflict, we emphasize that any disagreement is bad. Any disagreement where family is involved, it goes to a whole nother level. And we may get to that in some of the questions coming up, but boundaries are key.
That's really good. Just to say, my in-laws are here tonight. I didn't invite them, but they're here. And then my wife's father-in-law is here, back there. He's looking at me. I don't think he hears me, but we're glad he's here. But I've had a great relationship with Malcolm and Sonia. We've never had a conflict, and I could still take him. Probably that's why he fears me. But they have been fantastic, and it's worth the investment. And as you're talking, the Holy Spirit just reminded me of what we read in the scripture this morning. You know, honor starts in the home, and our kids are watching how we honor their grandparents, both sides. And a lot of the dishonor in our culture is come because parents aren't teaching their children to be honorable. And whether, you know, one of the parents agrees, if the daughter doesn't like the father-in-law, if the husband doesn't like their in-laws, I think we have to be very careful what we say in front of our children. Even if it's a difficult, stressful environment, we've got to be very protective that we don't air our frustrations with anybody, I think, you know, except your sports team. I think we've got to be very careful that we don't air our grievances with our children, because then they begin to pick up dishonor for the next generation. And we got to be super careful, especially if it's a tense relationship.
I also just want to say, my children didn't know I had any issues with my dad their whole childhood until they were just a couple years ago. I made that was a priority to me. And one of the big things the Holy Spirit showed me when I was pregnant with Angelina is I'm teaching her how to love and honor her dad. I will be, you know, when she watches me, how I love and honor mine. And so even though I didn't trust my father, and I knew that at that time I couldn't hold any expectations where he was concerned, because he continually let them down, and it would break my heart every time. My children never knew that. I would love my dad. I would laugh with my dad. I would go and visit my dad. He never babysat my children. I never left them with him because, you know, there wasn't a trust there. But they had no idea. And the biggest thing for me was, when they grow up, if God forbid my husband ever grossly fails in his life or falls or something happens, I don't want that to be an excuse for them to think, I don't need to honor him anymore. I don't need to respect him anymore. So that was a really important lesson that I wanted to teach them, is no matter what, you honor your dad, you honor, and that flows right over into the in-laws. It's the same concept. And that does begin with the way we parent, because they are watching, and it's more so what's caught so much more than what's taught. So we have to be so careful.
Wayne and Deborah, what would you say to people if they've got a son-in-law or daughter-in-law or whatever, and they're in a financial pinch? I don't think that you've dealt with that, but what's your advice to the... He's hitting you on the arm. He doesn't want to... You've ignored him. I see it's come natural to you. I think she wants you to answer this, Wayne. I'm not picking up...
I was picking that up.
Okay, all right. Do you have any advice for parents? I mean, it's hard when, I would imagine, to say no.
Yes, and it's tough. In the early years, when we're first starting, you don't have a lot of money. And I think that there can be stress worrying about, well, okay, you paid this bill this week, and then next bill next week. But you don't do that in front of the kids. You know, the kids should not be worried about their next meal. The kids should not be worried about, well, is dad going to, you know, make enough money this week? The kids should have no idea about that. I mean, we actually tried to teach them that, you know, this is how you budget. This is how you plan. This is, you know, when you get a dollar, then, you know, it's important that you give 10 cents to the Lord, and then you have the 90 cents to, you can do anything you want to. So there's this situation like that. To tell young couples how to get out of financial trouble, find out where the leak is. You know, if you've got this big bucket of water and there's water running out on the floor, the biggest problem is plug the leak first. If you're paying 29% interest on a credit card to a jewelry store, or some place, you know, a shoe store, or I don't know, just throw something out there.
Speak, Lord, speak.
But it could be a 29% interest anywhere, any card. If you let it ride and you got $12,000 of debt in credit cards, you got to pay that off, because that's a huge sucking hole for your finances. We tried to stay out of debt as much as possible. I hate paying interest. That's me. Bankers hate me. but there's times when you have to. I can't pay for a car, but I can pay for a car. You know, put it out there for 5 years and pay it off in two. You save $3,000 if you do that way. That's $3,000 that you will have, that you don't have to spend, that you don't have to just give away. So there's advice that you can give to people that say, hey, it has all to do with spending, and if you don't have it, this is a shocker, don't spend it. There are times when if the water heater blows up and there's water all over the floor and you need a new water heater, that's appropriate for the credit card. You know, if you need a new starter for your car, that's appropriate. But if you need a new hunting rifle that costs $3,000 and you're only making $1,000 a month, that's not appropriate. You know, and so you've got to have priorities. And the priorities have to be, you know, can you pay the bills? And so many people go in there and say, okay, so how much is that a month? And we've never done that. We say, okay, what's the bottom line for this? What's the total amount you want me to pay for this vehicle or for this whatever? Because you're going to look at that. You're going to trade your life to at work for that amount of money. And you're selling your soul to buy that thing. And is it worth selling your life for that thing? And when you put it in that kind of perspective, it changes your attitude towards buying stuff, you know?
That's good. Well, look, let me just kind of go around. We'll leave the other two questions. We'll start with Wayne. You've been married how many years? 40-something? 41, almost 20? 24, 25. Tell me the thing that you think is the strength that's helped you guys get here. I mean, what's the attribute, the thing that you really think that in your marriage? I mean, we want to hear about you, not somebody else. What is it that you and Deborah have got that have made your marriage so much fun over the years?
I married my friend.
That's good.
I think the big thing is to always look to the positive of your husband or your wife, to be there for them, whether it's in the good times, the bad times. When push comes to shove, family is all you have.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll always be there for you. We've gone through some hard times, some wonderful times, but I always have his back. And like you said, we were friends, and we still are friends. Yeah.
That's awesome. Good. Amy?
For me, is Daniel's always made me feel safe, and he, like you said, loyal. I know that no matter what I do, fail at something, or I always know that he will love me no matter what.
That's why she said I was Batman. Yeah, same thing what Amy was saying, but honored. I feel that she honors me for the most part. There's so many times I've... It's okay, you don't have to move away. I don't know, as a man, I've felt like with a seasonal job, there are hard times, like Greg was mentioning about. There's times I felt like a failure, that I was letting her down and the family down. Because as a man, I didn't feel to myself that I was providing the best that I could, just because of the seasons and the winter, and it's hard on the job that I have. But there's so many times I felt in my mind that she could have just given up on me, but she never did and stayed there, supported whatever we were going through. So the friendship and the bond of our relationship. And then plus, the more and more we put into the church and the word, that just brings us stronger and together more, better together.
I was actually praying about this morning, and I wasn't sure how we were going to fit this in tonight because I knew what the questions were. And both my wife and I come from broken homes. We're both, you know, first generation, you know, products of divorce. And my parents are married for 27 years. Your parents are married for 17 years. So these weren't like, you know, short, bad idea, didn't work. These were long relationships that, you know, failed miserably. And the only thing that makes the difference is my vertical relationship with Jesus Christ. Because in order for me to love my wife the way she needs to be loved, unconditionally, sacrificially, hell or high water, no matter what, I have within Greg Bozzelli about this much capacity out of pure willpower. But the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, all those things that we need to be the husbands that God's asking us to be, when this relationship fails, there's no hope. And God knew that marriage would be so difficult. It would be a challenge, and it is work. Because in the natural, we don't want to love sacrificially. We don't want to prefer the other person. We're very selfish by nature. So, and it's in those times when my devotion isn't what it's supposed to be, I begin to see myself the way I saw my father. And it scares me. And I'm like, no, I can't do this. So that is just such a determination. And it really works. When you know it's not you. When you know it's the love of God. And your kids know that that's what the difference is. And it's one of those things where if you do it, there's tremendous fruit. You stay connected, you produce fruit.
But when we get disconnected and life takes over, it's when now I don't have enough. And my good intentions, they just pave the road of destruction.
I don't like when he ends a sentence with pave the road of destruction and hands me the microphone. Ooh, so serious. So yes, I agree. Jesus is the reason we are still married. Bottom line, I mean, he's the foundation of every good thing. When we look at any blessing in our life, it's because he was the center of it. I mean, I could stop right there, but I won't, because, you know, I always have more to say. Second thing is, as a married woman, as a Christian married woman, always at the forefront of my mind to remember that this man is God's greatest provision for my life. He's the best. He's the best that God had to offer for me. There's nothing else better out there. There's no grass is greener on the other side. I think so many people give up and walk away thinking there's something better out there, or I miss the will of God, or there's someone who could love me better, and God is saying, invest in what I've given you, because there's beauty there you haven't seen. There's potential there that hasn't been tapped. There's just glory in it, because it's from God. And just to just keep going back to what God has given you and recognizing, like, he is God's greatest gift to me, and I want to protect it and cherish it and invest in it. That's a really big thing. And the second thing is just having an attitude of service. Like, just how can I love you today? How can I serve you today so that you know I love you? Like, how can I make you feel more loved? And looking for those opportunities to just, like blow their doors off and love their socks off. And, like, just, I just love that, you know, love their socks off. Well, other things too, but, you know, we're keeping it PG. Just finding those opportunities and not always thinking about what has he done for me, you know, what has he done for me lately? No, you know, what have I done for him lately? Just loving sacrificially, that's huge. That's so, so big. And you can't do that without Christ, because like he said, it's not in our nature to be selfless. And he wants to add one thing, so I'm game.
One of the concepts that has just been so overwhelming to me is that so many times we hear couples say, we're just not happy anymore. I mean, that is like the go-to excuse when people are ready to quit. We've fallen out of love. We didn't fall in love, so I don't know how you fell out of love. But here's a thought. And the thought is, maybe God didn't create marriage for us to be happy. Maybe God's purpose in marriage was to make us holy. Because when you commit your life to living with someone, good, bad, indifferent, hard times, good times, and everything in between, it brings out, praise the Lord, it brings out so often the very worst in us. And we're either going to get bitter or we're going to get better.
Darcy.
Can I expand my answer just a little bit, too?
No.
I said that I married a friend, right? But friends treat each other with respect and dignity and honor. And we still, you know, maybe old-fashioned and everything, but I'll say please and thank you, and you know, man, this is a great supper tonight, you know. She is the best cook in the world. But, you know, and we'll say the blessing, and, you know, there'll be a whole bunch of us around, the grandkids, and they'll say, oh, why did you just kiss her hand? I said, because she's awesome. She did a great job cooking supper, you know. And so showing honor in front of the kids, too. And it's just basically, why would you say thank you to the waitress but not your wife? You know, so there's this things like that that, you know, please and thank you goes a million miles, you know. And that's sort of, you know, I don't... There's an expectation, but, you know, it's appreciated, too. You know, there's a... She likes it when I say thank you.
I've been sitting here, and maybe you don't have the marriage like this. So my heart's just kind of been heavy, because maybe you're sitting there, and you want a good marriage, and you're struggling. And... my heart just, I felt very heavy about that. But I just wanted you to know that God can help your marriage be better. Like, it's not just a sign for us, it's actually how we believe. that God can make your marriage better. He can help the areas that you struggle with, because we all struggle. You know, there are some days I'm like, ugh, you know, not many. And he is too. We just don't do it together. We just don't. Anyway, but 25 years ago, I came through that door, and I walked down this aisle, and I walked up here, and I made a commitment before Jesus that I would love him, that I would honor him, I would respect him, and I made that commitment. And it wasn't just between him and me, it was between all the people that came, but more than that, it was between Jesus. That I am going to be faithful to this man my whole life. That I'm not going to let anything else come between us. And when we get distracted, because we all do, we're just going to face each other, pray, and do it right. Because you can do it right. It's not, I know that we put, I think that I was reading all the stress of marriage and the things, and I think, oh my goodness. But no matter where you are in your relationship, I believe I've had such a burden this week for marriages that I believe that God can just help you. No matter where you are, that he can make you better. He can make you stronger. And if you've disconnected a little, then why don't you try to connect a little? Just, you got to kind of sometimes change your focus. And it's really important to stay focused on the good things. And during the hard times, it's really important to keep the right spirit. It's important to keep the right spirit toward your husband or your wife and not be offended, right? No? Oh, yes, it is. It's obvious when you're offended. So it's really important. And I just believe that God created marriage for good, not to just say, oh, well, you got a long life there, buddy. No, it's supposed to be good. God made it good. That's why he created a male and a female, so it would be good. So if you're kind of in the place maybe where you're a little unfocused, I pray tonight before you leave that the Lord would just help you to remember. We've talked about in-laws. We've talked about all that. But all that can really be summed up, and if you're living right and you're speaking right and you're doing right, some of the stuff you don't have issues with. But I'm not preaching tonight, so here.
That's good. Come, Heather, if you would, please. I want us to pray. Let's just pray. And I want us to pray for each other and ask the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give this mic down. Well, you've got mics. And just one of whoever wants to be the prayer in the couple, to pray over the families and the marriages. And I think, just briefly, Darcy is opposite of me in almost every area. Like, there's very little we're the same in. Yeah, I can't think of anything that we're alike in. We really are total opposites. And for me, everywhere I'm weak, she's just strong in that area. And so when I hear people say, well, we can't agree, we don't get along, I'm like, we're not like each other. For us, it's the glue. I mean, Jesus and the differences is the glue, that we're totally different. And so I'm so grateful for that. So I think when we look at each other's differences and take it as an honoring thing, wow, you're so consistent with that. I'm not. Wow, you're like, she's really positive. I'm not really that positive. I know, I'm sure of it. I'm very positive. I'm not. I could settle. Like, I can just exist. I don't know why, but like, I could just exist in marriage. And I don't know if anybody here can identify with that, but I could just live in the same house and just be, you know, if we're not throwing anything at each other, I'm which we're not. But I can just get up and go to work, and I'm like a stone at times. But she's not. She will not tolerate settling. she's going to have a good marriage or I'm going to suffer. We're going to have a good marriage whether I like it or not. And that's a strength in her that's not in me. I can just, I don't know, I'm just stitched odd. But she's so strong in that area, and I'm so grateful for that. And so I would just say to any of the men especially, and it maybe that's more of a man trait maybe, that men will just kind of go along, well, you know, I'm eating three square a day, and I got a roof over my head. But gentlemen, we can have so much more. We can have so much more. So I want us to pray. I want my wife to pray for you, then whoever is the couple. If you've got your wife or husband there, just grab a hold of it. What's that? No, just pray.
Lord Jesus, we are so thankful for every family that's here tonight. I pray, Jesus, that you bless every family, that you bless every marriage, every husband. I pray, Lord, that you just bless them, help them, let them be the man that you created them to be. I pray, Lord, for every wife, God, that she would look at her husband how you want her to look at him. I pray, God, that you give that wife, God, that you just help her in every area. I pray, Lord, that there will be no distractions. That you'll bless their home. You'll bless their marriage. You'll bless their children. You'll bless their future. You'll bless their decisions. I pray in the name of Jesus that we as families will come to you and you'll help us in every area. I pray, God, if maybe there's, I know that there's a couple here that's just struggling. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will come in and refresh them and help them and put them on the right road and let them know that you're their helper and bless them in Jesus' name, amen.
Father, your word says that except you build the house, they that labor will labor in vain. And Father, I pray for every marriage represented here in the house and those that are watching online, that Lord, they would make room for allowing you to be the master builder in their relationship, first as individuals and as a couple. Lord, I pray that you would bring miracles into the lives of people that feel that there's no hope and that there's struggle. Lord, I know that the anointing breaks every yoke, every chain, every fetter, everything that binds and hinders your spirit and your ability to bring unconditional love into the home. Lord, I pray that they would be a divine shift in the spirit realm, that men would get serious about their place as spiritual leaders in their home, that God, they would create an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit is welcome, that there would be a change where the kids would recognize that something's different, something's happening, there's more freedom, there's more liberty, there's more access for you to move in your home. God, I thank you that you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to the power of God that's at work within us. Lord, I speak life over every marriage represented here tonight. I pray, God, that you would breathe into every marriage, that, Lord, you would bring life where there is death. You would bring fruit, God, where there's barrenness. You would bring light where there is darkness. And that, God, as we look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord, you promised that you would be able to do the impossible as long as we made you a part of it. And so, Lord, tonight, I declare that, Lord, as people get serious, as people look to the heavens and say, God, I need your help. I need you to move in our midst. I need you to move in our homes. I need you to move in our finances. God, if we could just make you first, Lord, you are able to make the difference. Lord, I believe that there is a turning point. I believe, Lord, that tonight there are choices that will be made that will bring great fruit, that will bring great life, and that, Lord, homes will be bound together with cords of love that cannot be broken. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the life in the path that you set me on to find the wife that I have with me and the two sons that we have, for blessing our family, the strength that you give our family, because you are the light of all things. I
pray, Father, that you guide and watch over every family that's represented here this evening. And be with them as they exit your house tonight. And be with them throughout the week and keep them all safe. Watch over the children, the mothers, the fathers, the grandparents. Lord, we love you. You are the love of our lives. Without you, we would be empty. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord, I just praise you and love you, Lord. And Lord, we just ask you just to bring us a revival of love in this land, oh God. Lord, let the curse of divorce, oh God, just not be spoken of in a church, oh God. Lord, let there be a reuniting, oh God, of couples, Lord. Let there be the hurts be set aside, oh God. Lord, let there be love and joy and peace in our homes, oh God. Lord, abundantly, oh God. Lord, let the little things be bypassed, oh God. Lord, let us just look to you, oh God. Oh God, let our strength, Lord, be in leaning on you, oh God. Lord, we just ask for this revival in this church, oh God. Revival in our land, oh God. Lord, we just ask you to just use us, oh God, and all the little things that we can do, oh God, and even the big things that you'll have us to do, Lord. We just praise you for this, oh God. We know that marriage, oh God, is the basis for society here, Lord. And we just ask you just to strengthen our society in this church, oh God. Lord, those things that would tear us apart, oh God, we just bind in the name of Jesus, oh God. And Lord, we just set and loose, oh God, the miracles that you have for us, oh God, in the reuniting, oh God. Because we recognize you as the miracle-working God, Lord. And the things that people say are not possible, oh God, they are possible with you, Lord. And we just praise you for this, oh God, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. 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 Praise God. Oh, by the way, my dad is married. I said just my dad is your in-law, but there's Karen. Karen's your mother-in-law. Your stepmother-in-law. Sorry, Karen. We didn't disown you. I just didn't see you. All right, let's